This week on a Hyperspace Broadcast, cue up the Sailor Moon transformation sequence. Okay, now Sailor Mercury. Sailor Mars. Welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program before watching it and trying to determine if it's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're talking about Sailor Moon, episodes 1 through 10 of season 1.
Yep, just plain old Sailor Moon. Not R, not S, not double, super S?
Yeah, I think that's the other one. Double S, yes, the Nazi Sailor Moon, yeah. That's little known.
Sure, someone's made that fan art, unfortunately.
Yeah, now, that's probably true.
So Sailor Moon, huh? Like, that's... it's.
You say that as though you didn't choose this.
No,
so Sailor Moon, huh? You know, why are we doing this?
Yeah. No, I was just going to go off on a little thing. Like, Sailor Moon, you know, it's a huge franchise. It's got, you know, started as a manga, and it's also an anime. And then they made another anime, like, 2 years ago that's also going on again, kind of a remake kind of thing. But it's an anime with, like, 5 different seasons. And then there's also musicals, live musicals of it that are very popular in Japan.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that.
My girlfriend's really into it. That's about how much I know. Like, I've seen some of Sailor Moon S, which is, sure. I think, the third season.
Yeah, it is. R is the second one.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, the final one to air on Toonami, I think, before.
No, I believe Super S aired on Toonami.
I think, actually, you're right, yeah.
The fifth season was never localized.
Sailor Stars wasn't, yeah. Yeah. They didn't get star-spinning uterus or whatever the fuck.
Sure. Again, I don't know anything about
that's
this.
That's one of the attack names from Sailor Moon.
Yeah, well, I guess Stars. I'll go ahead and say that I know very little about Sailor Moon. Obviously, I don't know anything about it. No, I mean...
Doak, they're pretty guardians.
Yeah, right. I mean...
that's all you gotta know.
Well, here's the thing. Like, my memory of Sailor Moon pretty much boils down to about two things. One, I seem to remember, like, watching an episode or two when I was a kid, partly because it was on, partly because I thought the characters were cute, which, big surprise.
Sure.
But I remember very little about it. I will say that when I, like, hear the word anime and picture it, I basically picture Sailor Moon, which is not a thing that I feel is, like, particularly great, to be honest. I don't know.
I think when you picture anime, especially anime in the States, that's kind of what I think. It's like Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon. Like, those are the anime that really broke over here. I know, of course. Akira was big over here, and, you know, as a movie and stuff like that, but really, if we're talking about, like, the real mainstreaming anime for the U.S., that's gotta be fucking... and also Speed Racer.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, especially in the era that we grew up in.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously you can make an argument for Robotech or I think even Space Battleship Yamato was localized
Space
before
Jam.
That. Yeah, Space Jam. What if, man, a Space Jam Space anime Jam. Would be kind of defeat the whole point of the show, or the movie, rather.
Yeah, but it would, actually, wouldn't it?
Funny idea for 1 second until I realized how terrible an idea it is. Yeah, no, obviously these are, like, the shows that typified anime when we were growing up. This, Dragon Ball Z, to a lesser extent, Gundam. Those were the three, and this is the one I didn't watch because it was for girls and I was
Same
a boy,
here.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's basically the mentality I had as a kid, too. It's just like, it's a girl show. No. Except I did watch Powerpuff Girls because
Powerpuff Girls kicked ass. Fucking.
It's weird because it's like I would watch anything that was on, including Powerpuff Girls, and at the time I would admit that I liked it, but it was a good show. For some reason, I never watched Sailor Moon. I don't know what the deal is with that, what the separation is. If I was just embarrassed by how weird it was, or
I
something.
Think at least part of it maybe that Sailor Moon is more explicitly girly in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like Powerpuff Girls, yes, they are girls, but you know they
it's
don't
just
really
kind of a superhero
even
show.
Well, yeah, and they don't even really like look like human beings.
yeah.
For example, you know, like at all,
they're like little turds.
Even, you know, ignoring the Sailor Moon, like, kind of insane proportions.
They're crazy stork legs. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Tiny, tiny waist.
But yes, no, obviously, like, Powerpuff Girls look even less human than that.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like, Sailor Moon, there's a lot of, I guess, kind of jewelry slash accessorizing that goes into them using their magical powers, which is...
From
what I understand,
like outfit,
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
the outfit, and they have like wands and shit
they
too.
Get, like, tiaras,
right?
And shit. Like, I guess, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
they get little wands and tiaras, but I don't think the show obsesses over it as much as you might imagine.
Well, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that it obsesses over it, but there is an extra degree of, you know, again, like Powerpuff Girls, they were just punching people quite brutally most of the time. Like thinking back, I'm remembering at least one image that was consistently used in advertising that was like slow-mo of teeth flying out of someone's face after being punched by one of them.
Really?
Yeah, I'm almost positive that's real.
Come on, really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding,
know,
at all.
All right, whatever. Yeah, probably like the hillbilly fucking whatever animal that was.
Hillbilly purple fuzz guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's I've watched a bit of Sailor Moon S with my girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and the Deke dub at that. So,
right,
this is a show that got very changed by the dub, much more so than Dragon Ball Z, I would say. I guess I don't know too much about it, but I know a little
arguable.
Bit. I would say.
And actually, here's the funny thing: technically, from what I understand, the Sailor Moon S and Super S were not actually dubbed by Deke, but by Cloverway.
And that is
also when they really started, like, I mean, the main thing is that there are two characters that come in later that are lesbians, and they changed it so that they're cousins.
They're cousins, yeah.
Which
makes it kind of creepy, actually, because they still have, like, furtive glances that they share and stuff like that, where...
Yeah, creepy if you understand the language of anime.
Yeah.
If you don't, maybe it wouldn't be that weird, but like,
yeah, as a kid,
you know when someone's blushing what that means in this shit.
Yeah, and they're staring at each other, blushing, and like having long takes at each other and talking to each other, like only in a way that anime lovers would, I guess. Like,
yeah,
very emotional.
Right. Dancing around any hint of actual sexuality, which, to be fair, I guess... I'm okay with. I'm not sure I really want to experience this show's version of that, but
I guess it's not. There's nothing sexual in the show, really.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, I'm
it's
sure.
It's romantic, and they're college age student characters. But in any case, yeah. So Sailor Moon, man, it's like here's what I know. You got five girls who can transform into guardians that represent the different planets of the solar system, and they are tasked to do something. I don't really know what. They protect the solar system against evil threats that are usually monsters of the week that are very, very ridiculous.
Right, and they protect Earth, I think, more or less specifically, because, I mean, what's the point of protecting, I guess, Jupiter, for example?
Yeah, I don't think you ever see them go to, like, Mars or Jupiter or any shit like
that. Yeah, all named after planets, except, of course, the titular Sailor Moon, who is named after the moon.
Sure. Well, what the fuck is Mini Moon? That's not even a real thing at all.
Yeah, she should be called Sailor Titan. We'll talk about Sailor Mini Moon later, because I'm pretty sure she shows up in the second season for the first time.
Oh, is that so? Yeah, I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I don't think
she's
in the first season. But I guess not to list the characters, but I'm going to list them. The main characters would be Sailor Moon, Sailor Mercury, Sailor Mars, Sailor Jupiter, and Sailor Venus.
One thing I really loved about watching it is how fucking... So, their outfits they change into are... They're ridiculously different in terms of the outfits. Like, they change from, like, plain, normal person clothes into, you know, slightly skimpy kind of sailor outfit. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, Japanese sailor suit outfit. Kind of, like, based on a schoolgirl outfit, but obviously a bit more flashy risque. And ridiculous. A little risque, yeah. I mean, they've got, like, short skirts with long legs, but it's, like, there's not, like, a bunch of upskirts or anything. It's not a very sexualized show for what it is.
Sure. Right.
For what it appears to be, especially to an American glance. Mm-hmm. And I think that was actually part of the reason why I was embarrassed to watch it.
Oh,
it,
like, yeah, it kind yeah, of yeah, looks, yeah, for sure.
Because it's like, yeah, you get all these girls with short skirts running around, and it's like, is my dad going to see me watching this and be like, what the fuck?
Exactly, yeah.
But
no,
it's like, it's not, it's also not like that, like in the actual show. But, so, I think my favorite thing about the little bit of this show that I've watched is that, like I said, their transformations, it just changes what they're wearing. It doesn't change, like, their face. They're not wearing a mask at all. And they will have scenes like their fucking Superman walking in, walking into the phone booth and coming out of Superman, and no one realizes it's Clark Kent. And it's like, people will see their friend go away and then see Sailor Moon come out and just be like, who's that? And it's like, dude, she's not even wearing a mask. That's Usagi. That's the person you were looking at. Like, there's no way they wouldn't be able to tell.
Selena, I believe, or Serena, maybe.
Selena, or Bunny, or Usagi. Like, there's, you know, the different dub names.
So, I don't know if I've mentioned the dub history of the show, which, as you would expect, is kind of strange. But, essentially, what ended up happening was kind of a similar case to Dragon Ball Z, where the first two seasons were dubbed by this group called Deke, the production company called Deke. They also made Inspector Gadget, for example.
That's right.
And essentially they, like, cut five episodes and I guess merged the last two episodes of season one. So effectively they cut six episodes. So instead of 46, it's 40. Other than that, I mean, they did some stuff with season two as well, but we'll talk about that when we get to season two, which we're not going to in this this block of episodes of the podcast. But yeah,
we're basically just sticking to season one, Sailor Moon.
Yeah, right. I think I think season two has some more strange changes. For example, they just call it Sailor Moon again instead of Sailor Moon R, and they, you know, like, digitally edit out the R from the title.
That's great.
Yeah.
What does the R even stand for?
Who cares?
It just makes me think of, like, Sonic R. Like, it's just racing.
Well, what is Sailor Moon racing? S? Like,
super.
Sure, but, I mean, it's irrelevant is the point. It's just a letter at the end.
I think it actually it is Sailor Moon Super, I think.
Maybe it's Sailor Moon Returns.
Sailor Moon Super.
Yeah, super. That makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, you'll get some interesting changes of stuff. I know there's like one villain who is supposed to be androgynous, like kind of an androgynous man who they just make a woman. But it makes it really weird because it's like there's like a scene where the guy takes off his shirt, but it's supposed to be a man, but they made it a woman, so they have to, like, really weirdly edit around it.
Right, yeah, and I seem to remember ages ago reading about this that the reason they changed it is because there's a relationship between two villains and they're both men, so they, like, altered it so that one of them is a woman, and I think they're meant to be brother and sister. I could be wrong on that, but that's something I read
everybody.
In an anime magazine fucking like 20 fucking million years ago. Yeah. Kinda.
I mean, so
pretty much, yeah, straight up.
Which, I mean, those are the times, you know. It was like, that was something too risque to bring up in a kid's show, and it'd make everyone upset, so they didn't do it. But still weird. I guess one thing on the episode structure is, like, I know, at least with S, and I think with most of it, is that it's, most of the time it's Monster of the Week shit. With just, like, a kind of mundane plot, and then these monsters come in and fuck things up, and their monsters are ridiculous, and they're sent by, like, a main villain group. And then you get a couple episodes peppered through the season that are, like, stick to a main story advancement where they're like, oh, actually fighting the main villains
instead
of fighting
I mean, that's,
shitty little monsters.
That's pretty standard the way this kind of show operates. And I guess...
It's kind of Power Rangers in a sense.
Well, exactly. Or X-Files. Or anything that has a Monster of the Week kind of structure. Usually you have long-term mythology stuff sprinkled in there. But
it's like this... But it is deliberately like the bad guys are sending out these monsters. Like the main bad guy group will show up, like one of them, and throw a monster at them, and then they'll disappear and leave the monster to do the fighting.
I mean, ultimately the show is Power Rangers, except that it's anime and they're all girls. Like that's pretty much what the show is. That's the structure of the show.
Cool.
It's a Sentai show, but anime.
Because they basically just, all their powers are just elemental powers, which is pretty cool. Like, except a couple of them. It's like Venus is love, so she just gets like a chain. She just attacks people with.
Super Wave Smasher maybe features at some point.
Say what?
Or a Thunderbolt Cut. Or,
what are you referencing?
Flare Up Now. Running Warriors.
Seriously, Super Wave Smasher sounds a lot like a Sailor Moon move.
I
they
believe
have like
it.
Pretty much the exact same name.
I mean, these shows are extremely similar realistically.
Sure.
It's just dudes instead of girls. At least on the surface.
Yeah, sort of.
I guess we'll see. But yeah, you know what? We should probably get around to watching it. So stay tuned for Sailor Moon after the break.
We are the champions of justice.
You're watching Sailor Moon on Cartoon Network.
Hey there, listener. Just jumping in during the break to tell you about some other ways you can help support the podcast that is other than listening to it, which is what you're doing right now. Either subscribing or leaving a review on Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, or Blueberry. That is blubrry.com is super helpful for us, specifically leaving reviews, if you can spare the time on iTunes, is awesome. If you feel like it, please stop by our social media on Facebook. That's facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter at HBpod. Feel free to say hello. We will respond in some manner, perhaps with a GIF, within a fairly short amount of time. Or if you're shy, it's still worth it because we tend to post clips, screenshots, usually with some sort of humorous observation throughout the week, and they will be related to what we're currently watching. Our next episode will be out on August 30th, and we'll be back to our thoughts on the first 10 episodes of Sailor Moon in just a moment.
Sailor Moon now continues on Cartoon Network.
Welcome back, everyone. We have sat through the first 10 episodes of Sailor Moon. I'm not sure if watched is a totally accurate description of what happened exactly.
Are you saying you weren't gripped?
Yeah, I'm saying that, I don't know, this gripped me like a nonstick coating. Like, this is...
Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
This is not... Yeah. Okay, so...
You could write for Sailor Moon.
Hey, thanks. That's pretty insulting. Jesus.
So, this was a hell of a watch.
Yeah, well, before we start, like, really getting into digging on this show...
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and fill everyone in on what exactly is going on in Sailor Moon. Much like the last several shows that we've done, this is not really a show with that much of an overarching plot, at least not so far. It's not really serialized. It's very independent. Now, that said, there is obviously some basic setup stuff that's, I guess, interesting. And super front-loaded as well. Like, the first episode literally starts, well, not literally, it starts with, you know, a kind of pre-cap of what the episode's going to be, and then a theme song that is extremely terrible, I would say.
Fighting game.
Yeah, no, let's not sing it. It is extremely catchy and very annoying.
Between the commercial that's now playing that I overhear of people poorly singing Sweet Caroline in karaoke, which is fucking terrible.
Ugh, and, yeah, that sounds pretty annoying.
The this fucking Fighting Evil in the Moonlight, Living Something, Something in the Daylight.
Finding Love by Daylight,
Something
of course.
In the Real Fight, she's the one named Sailor Moon. My head is just a mess. My head's all fucked up, though.
Yeah, and here's the thing about this theme song as well. Like, it's actually kind of hilarious in that the episode uses kind of like instrumental versions of the theme song with different, I guess, sort of intonations. I'm not really a music guy, but it's basically different pacings, different moods, but using the instrumental version of the theme song, which I actually like quite a bit. The problem is that the lyrics to the theme song are terrible, and hearing anything related to it just gets it stuck in my head again. Like, I literally have been humming this theme song as I go about my day, and it sucks.
Yeah, God, it's... Yeah, and you might be surprised to find that the original opening theme is to the exact same tune. It's just they wrote...
That's not that
really
surprising.
Annoying lyrics over it. It's not super surprising. They've done it with stuff like Dragon Ball Z, sort of. They did it with Dragon Ball Z Kai. They made like a completely English version of the song that actually seems to translate pretty well. But in this case, yeah, pretty rough. It's pretty painful. I could hear half a second of the song and it stuck in my head. Anyway, pass the fucking theme song.
The first thing that we're introduced to in the first episode is just a huge exposition dump about, like, this moon kingdom and all of these defenders and et cetera.
Long, long ago in the past.
Yeah, right. And you know, it's basically just a setup for everything, but it is, like, a solid minute or two of just...
Yeah.
Storybook style narrator dumping information on you.
Everything was great in the Moon Kingdom with Princess Serenity.
Something like
Celestia,
that. Probably something. Serenity. That would make sense.
Probably Serenity, yeah. And then things went bad and darkness started happening, so they sent their children into the future.
Yeah, I guess. To Earth or something. It's...
Yeah, to Earth in the future. And so none of them know who they are.
Yeah.
And they send their cat guardians, Luna and Artemis, to go guide them and find these kids and give them their
and
powers, I guess.
Basically, yeah. And
that's basically all you're
told. Here's the thing. Like, I don't know much about this backstory, but at the same time, it's almost completely inessential at this point. Like,
yeah.
Very little in the show has really related to it outside of the basic premise of, like, you know, the Sailor Scouts getting their powers, but...
Right, and finding other Sailor Scouts.
Yeah, it's
still...
In other words,
hardly
it's
has
not...
to do with it. You could have that scene cut out, and it wouldn't affect anything.
Yeah, generally speaking, it's just not as succinct as Find Me Five Teenagers with Attitude. Like...
Yeah, yeah.
It could be that easy, but instead we have this backstory. So, that aside, we have this villain who is Queen Beryl, who just spends all her time looking in a crystal ball and, like, waving her hands around it.
Gesturing, yeah.
We have her henchman, Jedite, who is a blonde dude who is pretty much always failing at his task.
Handsome blonde guy, and he always fucks up, and he basically his job is to create the formula for the series, which is make a new fad every week that's secretly evil and tricks kids into giving their energy to Queen Beryl. So you get stuff like an evil jewelry store that's giving out evil jewelry, an evil talk radio show that gives out evil flowers that steal your soul,
an evil cruise
an evil cruise line for lovers that steals the power of love, I guess. An evil computer club
You know, it evil. Almost sounds like you're just making shit up.
It does.
But these are literally all things that happen. Like, there is actually a literal evil computer club. I think that's the apex
An
of
evil
the insanity.
Clock store.
Oh God, yeah, Jesus.
remember that craze when everyone was buying clocks?
All right. Well, so yeah, Jedi is mainly there to facilitate the plot. Moving forward on an individual episode basis. Now, here's something that I find disappointing right off the bat. As far as villains go that aren't just villains of the week, that's it, which sucks. We don't have any, like, all the villain interactions are so one note. It's just, you know, barrel ordering Jedi around. There's no jockeying between different sub-villains. Like in, say, Ronin Warriors, a show that I didn't like, but at least that was better than this. Like,
yeah,
there's so little to the villain interactions except for basically Jedi saying, oh, I'm going to steal their energy for this purpose. And
Queen Beryl saying, you failed me.
Yeah.
Don't do it
again. That's almost entirely what it is. So those are the villains, which, of course, I'm going to talk about first. Then we've got Luna, who is a talking cat and kind of a nagging, annoying bitch.
Okay. Now, as far as support characters of shows like this, what do you think? Alpha from Power Rangers or Luna from Sailor Moon? Which one's worse?
God, they're both pretty obnoxious.
They're both pretty
bad. Here's the thing. Well, Luna is fine on her own. The problem is the main character, Serena, is basically very annoying.
Yeah.
Like, she has a lot of bad habits that the show feels the need to moralize.
Yeah. She's lazy. She's a crybaby. She's late to everything. She's stubborn. And you get so many of these times where it's just like, Serena acts like Serena. Serena's Sailor Moon, by the way. I barked it out earlier. But Serena just acts like herself and starts crying over nothing or is stupid or clumsy.
Yeah.
And then you get like a solid 2 minutes of Luna bitching her out for not being good enough.
yeah. Well, that's what it comes down to a lot of the time is Serena's just, you know, it's not even necessarily that her flaws are annoying, which they are, but it's that the show is so obviously like, these are bad character traits that you shouldn't have, and Luna is part of the total, absolute, like, million times over underlining of that. It makes it more annoying that not only is she, like, late for school all the time, and the show needs to address that, like, 50 times, but also that there's a character standing on her shoulder like, you shouldn't be late for school. Like, that, I don't know. There's something about the
really
underlining
the
of it that bothers me.
I never really got the feeling they were moralizing that too much. I always just thought, like, oh, that's just the same joke over and over again. Like, oh, look, she's kind of fucking up. It's kind of cute and funny. That's it.
I guess.
Like, I don't think it's like they're telling, they're really trying to hammer it in, like, kids don't be late for school. Like, no, she gets by just fine being late all the time and getting a 30 out of 100 on her math tests, which they pound in your fucking head. They show that footage over and over again.
Well, here's the thing. PSAs. Being late's a bad example. A better example is, like, studying. Serena never wants to study. Luna's constantly like, you need to study. It just feels, I don't know. So you have Serena, you have her friend who's named Molly, who is basically just someone doing a really bad impression of like a Sopranos character. Like, she just has the worst, most over the top Jersey accent possible.
Total
like, think
fake
about
accent.
Yeah. Think of the most over the top Jersey accent you can.
Gee, Serena?
And now make it like 50 times more over the top. And that's roughly where Molly sits. Then she is kind of a friend, I'm not sure that's the right word, named Melvin, who
Melvin's
is
fantastic.
Kind of a little creep, but also hilarious.
Melvin's a nerd character. He is just like a kid with spiky hair, but he has the glasses that are just completely spirally, like huge nerd spirally glasses.
Yeah,
and
sure, that's
he talks
a thing.
Like this! and he always talks about the internet.
Yeah, and computers.
I've got lots of friends on the internet.
Yeah, no, he's... That's my favorite of all of his lines, is mentioning friends on the internet, which, as when this came out, was such a lonely, pathetic thing, and is now pretty commonplace.
Yeah.
But,
well, again, especially this, because every time he name drops the internet and computers, which he always does.
Right.
I think of it, and it's like, no, that's like when that shit was new. Like, that's when computers were just becoming popular. I don't know about Japan, maybe probably the same thing. But yeah, definitely in America, it's like, this is when computers and the internet are just about to hit the cusp, like becoming mainstream, or just hitting that with like AOL discs and all that crap. So every time, I won a computer contest on the internet, which I think is the best line the show has given us yet.
Yeah, that one's
piling up
pretty
the nerd
insane.
What is a computer contest, Stoke?
Yeah, I don't know. You just
he's really good at computing.
Yeah, show how well you can operate, I guess, Microsoft Word and PowerPoint, or
DOS.
The Office suite in general. So those are the, I guess, main characters. Then throughout this block, we're introduced to Amy, who is...
To real main characters.
Yeah,
Amy,
right.
Who becomes Sailor Mercury, the blue-haired girl who's really into studying.
Yeah, kind of bookish. And then we have Ray, who is involved in a temple in some capacity. I'm not entirely
she's a,
sure.
She's a Miko, a shrine maiden at a temple.
Sure, right.
She, at a Japanese temple which is kind of funny because they don't explain anything about what Japanese temples are like. So it's just as a kid, I imagine it, you're just like, this takes place in America. Like, it's just an average world. Oh, let's go to the temple and,
buy
luck charms and stuff.
Yeah, it takes place in America, at least to the extent that, like Pokemon, they had to rename, a meat bun a donut to indicate Serena's piggishness, which that's another of her many flaws, or just character traits that's annoyingly, constantly overplayed.
And Ray, always argues with Serena, and I don't know.
She is
argumentative and competitive, and
she's Sailor Mars.
Sailor Mars.
And
she's the fire one.
Yeah, of course. Fire.
So far, we have fire, moonlight, and bubbles.
Fire, tiara that's a frisbee, and bubbles.
Yeah, but... yeah. So Sailor Moon's only attack at this point is to take her tiara and turn it into what is shaped like a frisbee made of light, and then throw it at someone. It's basically like a shitty Destructo disc.
Yeah, much like the Wonder Woman power that I feel like everyone forgets because it's stupid.
Did she have a power like that?
She threw her tiara, from what I understand. Oh. They just stopped doing that because it's dumb. Those are the characters. I guess let's get into our favorite and least favorite episodes. This is kind of a crapshoot because these 10 are very much the same.
If they're all just there.
My favorite episode was episode 10 because it features a Jedite finally being forced to take on the 3 Sailor Scouts that have been assembled thus far. Individually
is the only episode that breaks from the formula out of the entire 10 episode block. Because everything else is Monster of the Week, and this one is like, finally he's had it and he's just going to challenge them directly to a fight, and appears in the sky in like this burning vision, and it's like, you're going to fight me, or I'm going to blow up this entire city, I guess.
Yeah, right. And so they go to fight him at an airport, and he has literally like a schoolyard, meet me by the flagpole at 4:30 kind of thing, but it's an airport and it's at night. So they go to meet him, and then he like controls a bunch of giant jumbo jets to run them over, I guess.
Arbitrarily. Like, his magical powers are lightning, usually. Like, he's just zapping people and shit the rare times you see him attack. And then, for some reason, he can also just remote control passenger jets. and make them drive into people.
And it really needs to be pointed out that jumbo jets driving around trying to crush people is maybe one of the least exciting things to watch. They're slow and unthreatening, and they can't destroy them because, as Luna says, it would take you like a million years to pay off the cost of a jumbo jet with your allowance. Which,
and what does that matter?
Yeah, which makes it even less exciting because they can't even like fight the jets. They just kind of run from them.
Yeah.
Eventually, they, you know, use their powers and beat Jedi. We also kind of forgot to mention Tuxedo Mask.
So Tuxedo Mask at almost every episode appears as a Deus Ex Machina, or as
not
I like
almost
to call it,
every episode.
As I like to
every
call it.
Episode.
Every episode. Yeah, every episode is Deus Ex Machina, or as I like to call it, a Tuxedo Sex Machina, a tuxedo from the machine.
Not Deus Tux Machina? Jesus Christ. Come on.
No, it's Tuxedo Sex Machina. Deus Tux Machina is pretty good, though. I'll give you that.
It's better, I think.
I don't think it makes sense in the original Latin, but neither
does Tuxedos. Oh, that's the important part of the joke, I think.
So he will just show up. It's always like, oh, we can't beat the villain. We suck. Like, they like fight him for a little bit, and they get caught up in some shit, and they're being attacked, and they're like, oh, no, how am I going to escape? Oh, no, no. And when all hope seems lost, a rose will fly through the sky and, like, hit the enemy or hit some kind of thing that affects their magic and breaks the spell, and Tuxedo Mask saves the day, like, almost all the time, or at least he, like, saves them so they can kill the villain.
Well,
usually.
Yeah, they pretty much always beat the villain, actually, but Tuxedo Mask usually frees them or shows up and gives them moral support in order to beat the villain. But I would say that's my favorite episode. Not really for any good reasons. It's just that the visual of a bunch of planes chasing the main characters around is pretty hilarious. And
yeah.
And also because Jedi, in the end, loses because the planes run him over.
Yeah.
Because
what a way to die.
Yeah, he's immobilized for some reason that I can't be bothered to remember, honestly. Then he gets run over, and then Queen Beryl freezes him in a crystal, and he's dead, so he's going to be replaced by a new villain, presumably, in episode 11.
Nephrite.
Which I'm excited for.
Yeah, another villain named after a mineral, which is very common in Sailor Moon for some reason.
Yeah, sure. So what about you? What's your favorite episode?
Thinking on it, I'd have to go with Cruise Blues. Again, not a great episode, but it is notable in a couple ways. This is the episode where we're introduced to a kind of a new villain who's in there, I think, just once. And she's like this girl named Titus who can control water. And she seems to kind of, you know, get along well with Jedi. And so it's this fucking like romantic cruise bullshit that tricks all the people. And, you know, this is the episode where Melvin won tickets to it, courtesy of a computer contest on the internet. And so, you know, you have Rey and Serena like competing over who gets on the ship, and Serena and Amy go on, and blah, blah, blah. This is a stupid plot. It doesn't matter.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah, they're on the ship. Like, what did you actually like about it?
Basically that line that Melvin said.
All right. Fair enough.
That's about it. The new villain's like kind of interesting, does some slightly interesting stuff. There's a little bit of funny stuff with like Jedi in costume meeting Sailor Moon and not recognize her because no one can recognize anyone in this show.
Yeah, it's a classic
in, like, the slightest costume
cartoon thing where Sailor Moon with a haircut is impossible to recognize.
Well, Sailor Moon without a haircut, Sailor Moon wearing the Sailor Moon outfit is impossible to distinguish between Sailor Moon not wearing the Sailor Moon outfit, which looks identical.
Yeah, to be fair, that ridiculous. Hasn't really been pointed out yet. Like, there's been no one saying, where did Serena go when Sailor Moon shows up?
They've hinted at it. It's ridiculous. The same with Jedi. Like, Jedi looks the same and just wears a different, like, costume fitting whatever fucking stupid fat he's doing. So he's like, oh, I'm going to be a captain of this cruise ship, this evil cruise ship. I'll disguise myself as a security guard at this talent show bullshit. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'll be a guy at the temple for this selling evil good luck charms scam.
Yeah. So what about your least favorite episode?
Ugh. You know, probably the one where they go to the gym.
Man.
There's an episode where they, everyone gets obsessed with a scam by Jedi to lose weight. And it's, you know, it kind of reminded me of the movie Death Spa. That's a benefit, I guess. But
sure.
From the 80s, it's just an evil spa that kills people.
Of course.
But it sucks. It's boring. More importantly, what's Melvin doing in this episode? We can't underline how minor the characters Melvin and Molly are, but he's better than everyone else because he's more entertaining to me. Melvin in this episode is candidly taking photos of his hot teacher and is found out, and it's really weird.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we find out he's a creep.
Yeah, exactly, because he's been taking photos of his teacher while she exercises, unbeknownst to her. And then lies about how he got them, which is
my friend
exceedingly
gave
creepy.
Me.
No, he's like, oh, they fell out of her purse. Like, no, actually, I took them. Ugh. Yeah, so let's get into our impressions of this, because we're running kind of long here. Here's the thing. I hated Ronin Warriors because the first 10 episodes were almost entirely concentrated on gathering up the hero characters so that they could finally be together to, like, fight the bad guys. This is the same, except even slower in getting to that point. Like, the first 4 episodes, and this is a 40-episode series, like, you know, that's 10% of the total series, is just Serena and Luna. And that is where Serena and Luna's combative relationship is at its most annoying, because
they're the only characters. Yeah.
There's nobody else. It's just them and Tuxedo Mask most of the time. And
rarely, yeah.
Well, like showing up for like 10 seconds to say something inspirational and leave.
Yeah, or you get the guy who's obviously Tuxedo Mask, but in disguise. Darian, who's just a douchebag.
Yeah, who just is hilarious. A dick to Serena. And Serena's 14, so why this dude who looks like
jackass.
He's 20 is being a prick to her is questionable.
He's great, too, because he's got the fucking giant 80s shades like Char from Zeta Gundam. Like
only once, though, really.
That's true. But it's a good look.
But, the problem with
calls
this show...
Meatballhead.
Yeah, the problem with this show for me so far is that, A, the monsters of the week are extremely uninteresting. They mostly just look like each other, with one exception, which is a doll, which is really cool.
There's a very creepy doll character that like changes forms and it looks really fucked up. Like that was cool.
That's
pretty much the only good one.
Yeah, no, that was like the 10 seconds of legitimate enjoyment I got out of the show was the sequence where the doll like transforms from this more human looking version of itself. But that's the problem. They're taking so long to get these characters together, and what I want to see is these characters interacting with each other, I thought. Then they got Sailor Mars, and her and Serena's relationship is annoying as fuck as well, because they're just arguing all the time.
I don't hate it.
I mean...
I like Mars.
It's better than Luna.
It still kind of is just the same fucking constant critique of Serena's stupid behaviors.
Yeah,
which
right.
Is, that sucks. That part of it I don't care for.
Yeah, right. And it's kind of weird, actually, now that I think about it, because, I mean, you could argue that Mars's combativeness is a flaw, but outside of that, neither her nor Amy seem to really be flawed in any way compared to Serena, which further highlights how annoying Serena can be in her constant flaws, but, yeah, I don't know. Like, the thing is... I'm not even sure what I'm looking forward to in this show anymore at this point. I was looking forward to new characters showing up. Now, I don't feel that way, honestly. I'm hoping that they're villain characters that'll be interesting, but I honestly don't have much hope for that. So great. Yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit rough. I'm looking forward to the changes that'll come in the future. I don't know. So far, a lot of this stuff isn't as good as, the ridiculous shit I saw in Sailor Moon S, and that's a long way away.
Yeah.
But, we don't have a villain who's just, a person wearing a giant shoe, on their torso. Mm. Or a person wearing a giant NASCAR on their body, which looks really ridiculous. Just really stupid villains that they just kind of also make fun of, or just, I don't know, so absurd that they're kind of like the Power Rangers villains. Oh, it's a rapping pumpkin. Oh, it's the fucking turtle with the lights on its head. Oh, it's a,
yeah.
And here it's just you get a couple villains in the beginning that are just vaguely demonic, ugly looking, demon women who can turn their heads around the girl in The Exorcist.
Mostly just
why do they repeat that?
Disguised as older women. And then transforming into evil demonic people who look so identical that you thought it was a recurring character at first.
Yeah. And then some other ones that are pretty fucking generic until you get to that doll one that's actually pretty cool. That's the only one. The only interesting one. It sucks. So I'm hoping those get a little more interesting. I'm a little excited to see how the characters interact when they're in the entire group. And, hopefully it's a little different than how it is now. The you did mention transformation, and that's one thing we haven't brought up. So every episode, like this classic kind of Sentai
much
kind
like
of thing,
Ronin
like
Warriors,
yeah, you. Yeah, the classic Sentai hero kind of thing. Everyone has to transform. God, and the transformations.
Yeah, they take a
Sailor Moon
time.
Has a transformation that takes fucking forever, and it goes the whole way every time. I like the animation of it. It's kind of a cool transformation. I think it's well done. But it happens every time, and you get just so sick of it. And it takes about 40 seconds, adding that and the same stock animation of her doing the stupid hand signals and pointing at the enemy and saying something. And then when you get new characters, it adds transformation sequence for them. And sometimes they just go from one to the other to the other. Luckily, theirs aren't as long, but it's still
not even.
Oh my god,
not even close to as long.
But it's by the time they're done transforming, fucking end the episode, the fight's over. Anyway, this show kind of sucks. That's what it boils down to. Now, and I do want to point out, we are watching a. We were watching the original dub of the show that aired on Toonami. The real show is different. I haven't taken the time to watch the real show, but in the event that there are a bunch of fans who are super pissed off hearing this, I think we get that. I think you get that, right, Doak? While the base show probably has some of the same problems that we're complaining about, maybe some of the writing or some of the story beats and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well,
are better in the original, and we're not necessarily judging the original. Judging what we're seeing.
Here's the thing, too. I'm not going to say necessarily that I'm not judging the original a little bit, but
sure.
I can understand why someone would like this completely. I personally just don't. Frankly, it's not really any dumber a show than Gundam Wing or Ronin Warriors for that matter. Hell, they're basically the same, Ronin Warriors and this.
I'd compare it to Ronin Warriors. I think Gundam Wing's a little smarter.
Maybe. But my point is that I'm crapping on this show partly because I didn't really watch it as a kid, so there's no real nostalgia attached to it for me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm trying to temper how much I'm shitting on it personally, because it has problems. Obviously, everything we've watched so far does.
Yeah.
I just don't like it that much.
Yeah, you know, I'm open to enjoying it more, at least in a, like, enjoying the badness of it, which is kind of how I enjoyed the S dub.
So you're not open to enjoying it more. You're open to mocking it more.
I guess, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, I don't think you're going to find many people who will defend the fucking Deke dub of this show. Like,
sure.
God, the CG shit they put in the middle of everything is atrocious. Like, they just do all these transitions with really bad CG. I don't know if that's in the original or not. Probably not. It's probably added in, but it looks real bad. Like, oh, to transition from this scene, we're going to throw a really fucking terrible CG tiara on the screen and have it shine, and then the camera zooms into it and goes to the next scene. And so, like, even after all the trouble we've been through with Reboot and Johnny Quest, we still haven't escaped shitty 90s CG.
It's not like it's 3D CG. It's like a digital image that's 2D.
No, I'd say it's 3D, whatever.
Well, feel free to quibble
case,
about
it's
that.
Shitty computer graphics.
Off mic. But yeah, no, it's weird kaleidoscope transitions that I have to assume weren't in the original show. And they use them constantly.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to soldier on through this, though. So anyway, I guess that just leaves us with our bet. I'm thinking for this bet, we're going to do how many times does the side character Melvin mention either computers or the internet?
Yeah, and that sounds good.
Pretty much always mentions them in any time he talks, but he doesn't show up super often, so I'm curious to where this will be. It's also like a highlight of the show when Melvin shows up and says something stupid.
Yeah, right.
To me.
Right.
So,
well, given that you chose this series,
yeah,
I'm gonna give you first pick, and by first pick, I mean, you know, closest without going over.
So now this is the combined times he mentions computers or internet. By name, so he says computer or internet.
Yes.
Just to get the complete clear rules down, let's go 12. Locked in, 12.
All right, I'm going to go with 0. I'm just going to undercut yours.
Okay, yeah.
Mostly because I don't want any, we both lost garbage.
Sure,
like we
sure.
did with Johnny Quest. All right, let's see how many times Melvin mentions computers or the internet, probably more than 0 times, but
he did win a computer contest on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, he's very adept at both, presumably. So that's pretty much our show, I think, unless you have anything else to say about Sailor Moon for some reason.
Help.
Hey man, you fucking dug this grave. Why in it?
We had to get to it eventually.
Sure.
We dug this grave. Can't wait till we get to 400 episodes of Hamtaro.
On that note, this has been Hyperspace Broadcast. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
Be sure to revisit us next week as we take on Sailor Moon episodes 11 through 20. Hopefully better than these.
I think they have to be, right?
Some acknowledgements. This week, the bumpers were taken from the video Toonami, Sailor Moon, and DBZ Bumpers 1080p, uploaded by YouTube user PooperScooper99. Also, I'm aware that the first one is cut off a little bit. Sorry about that, but the music is too good to pass up, and I couldn't find a full version. The opening and closing music is Vapor Dive In by Anatech, off the album Anatech Instrumentals Volume 6. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud, and you totally should, especially if you like what's playing right now. Rights were secured through Jamendo.